Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life Rewired podcast. And thank you guys for joining us on this Tuesday, December 19th. We know that this has been just a crazy kind of close to 2023. We've been obviously talking with a lot of our clients just about this season of life and the holidays and as we're closing out 2023 and segueing into 2024. And this time of year always brings a special time in general just for Chris and I both, with Chris's birthday being on Christmas Eve. She is a Christmas baby. And this year she is turning the big 3-0. So this episode is all about her top 10 life lessons from the year of 2023. But before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Nash Nutrition. The Nash Bar is made with simple and nourishing ingredients, 20 grams of protein, and is naturally sweetened with honey and dates. And what a lot of people don't realize is that most of the so-called healthy protein bars that you find in the stores and on the market are unfortunately heavily processed with fillers and unnatural ingredients. I was actually literally just in a grocery store, or not a grocery store, a gas station. The other day, I was really in a pinch and on the go and had to grab a snack really quick in between meetings and just between stuff I was doing throughout the day. And I stopped in a gas station and literally like the entire protein bar section was filled with highly processed protein bars. Like literally not even one was even remotely minimally processed. And this is literally why we love the Nash bars. I actually literally tagged them in a photo from the gas station saying how grateful I was for them and these bars, because we never even have to think twice about these ingredients and they truly are the good for you protein bar. So make sure you guys set your reminders for Thursday, December 21st at 6 p.m. Like we always say, I would set them for like 5:50, 5:55. Get there, be ready, you know, right when that clock strikes 6 p.m. because they go super, super fast. So on to today's episode. This is episode 115. These are Chris's top 10 life lessons from 2023.
This is so crazy to think about all the life lessons from the last year of my 20s. But kicking things off in usual fashion, you guys have heard a lot about this past year, and this is why it's the number one life lesson for me. And that is, investing in your health is truly invaluable. And I talked about this last year as one of my life lessons, how therapy was a big investment for me that really was life changing. And I actually switched therapy companies this past year, and that was also a life lesson for me, just like being able to shop around. I think that's important to understand, even when it comes to coaching. If your first experience is helpful but may not be like the absolute best fit, there's no harm in like kind of shopping around and figuring out someone who is the best fit for you and finding a therapist that like aligns with me perfectly. It feels like another version of me, like we're like best friends but also in a professional way. And I've gotten more out of like a few sessions with her than I feel like I got like out of 6 months last year. So being able to invest in that is obviously something that I make a top priority, but also hormone testing is something that I've done this year that was different than any other year previously in my 20s. I actually did, as I talked about before, the Everly Well test back in like 2021, and while I got some information, I feel like it was just kind of like a cookie cutter, you know, solution, or like, hey, here's what your answers are with no protocol, essentially. So doing hormone testing this way with a saliva test through my functional doctor that I now have on staff with Bone Mouths, which is going to be such a cool thing to look back on this episode in the years to come. This was the year that I brought that into the coaching program because it's been truly life-changing for me. It's changed my energy. It's changed my body composition. It's changed my metabolism. And that's something that truly is like, makes me emotional to think about it. It's something I'll never take for granted again. Just like literally having enough energy to make it through the day. And I'm even making it through the day today on very little sleep. But that's something the doctor said even. He was like, you'll have 6 hours of sleep and it will feel like 9. And I feel like that's something that most people experience with healthy adrenals, but it's something that I did not. So like having healthy adrenals and healthy hormones is something that I truly believe is invaluable. And that brings me to my next point, which is kind of under the umbrella of investing in your health. I used to think that supplements were the end all be all. Like back in the beginning of my fitness journey, I was like protein supplements. Like I was on MyProtein, bodybuilding.com, like buying all these, like, to be honest, like processed proteins and supplements. And I was still, you know, tracking macros, but I wasn't caring as much about my nutrition. But then I went into a season of life like the past few years where I was so focused on nutrition that I was not taking any supplements, like even vitamin D, even like the things my body needed. Until getting blood work and hormone testing done, I've now found that perfect happy medium, knowing like that nutrition and supplementation are equally important to make sure there's no gaps in your nutrition. And that's when you truly feel optimal versus just normal.
Yeah, and I love this one, especially just like investing in yourself and your health, whatever it is, just making that investment, it really is priceless. Like, I feel like you've made all these investments in your health. And I feel like something I've done this past year is like really investing in myself with different coaches and different coaching, also investing in therapy as well. So both best investing in health and myself, but it really is invaluable. Like, regardless of what avenue, you know, you guys kind of direct your efforts toward, I think that it'll never be something that you regret, literally ever. And I took me, you know, being super stubborn and, you know, letting the ego, you know, sit in the driver's seat. It took me way too long, you know, to kind of pull those things back and invest in coaches and admit that, hey, I need help. I need to, you know, get tips, get advice, get coaching, you know, in these areas that I know I struggle in. And I know for me, like, that has been absolutely life-changing in this past year between my business coaching and now social media coaching. Like, it literally just expedites the process tenfold. And I know that a lot of our clients feel that way with their health and fitness, you know, when they invest in coaching. But no, you will never invest, or you will never regret investing in your health and just in yourself in general.
Exactly. And I think we can both tangibly see, like, as we've watched each other invest in these certain areas of our lives, like, what a big difference it has made from that each other's perspectives. And I also think this is a good time to say, just like with the end of year and us both being business owners, like, we want to say thank you to everyone who has invested in us. We know that is something we don't take lightly, and we invest in ourselves constantly to make sure our coaching programs and that we are the best coaches, you know, we possibly can be. And we just want to say thank you for that. Something we
yes, thank you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate always, and we're so grateful.
We appreciate all of you.
And number two is for my Enneagram threes, and this is something I learned in therapy. I'm constantly needing to do something, and even on my active rest days, like running the 10K this year, and even still, like, healing from previous injuries, it's really hard for me to just, like, slow down and not do something. Like, I don't view, and this is something that I'm working on, of course, practicing what I preach, but when I'm just, like, resting or have nothing on the agenda, like, I will find things to do. And my therapist was like, you just need to, like, be and exist. Like, you do not have to be constantly doing something. You just need to, like, be present. And that's something that, like, changed my life. Like, from October on, I feel like I've just been way more present. I make that, like, a daily goal. I put it in my planner every day. And even when I'm, like, running or walking outside or working out, it just makes you so much more intentional when you're not scrolling on your phone between sets, or you're not listening to, and we appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. I'm not saying turn this off, but I always have to be listening to something. And when I finally just, like, turn off the music, turn off, like, podcasts, it just causes you to be, like, alone with your thoughts, and it turns into, like, a meditative state. So you don't have to, like, intentionally take time out to meditate if that's not your vibe, but just, like, working out and, like, listening to music is a meditative state, I truly believe. And I was kind of blocking that for myself by always listening to something during my workouts or something when I'm on a walk with the dogs. And she challenged me to just, like, go on a walk and listen to nothing, or don't call someone when you're on a walk. And that's something that was a big game changer for me, and just being present. And especially this time of year, it's something Zach and I really try and prioritize, is at the end of the day, like, the day goes by so fast, the months go by so fast, and it's already the end of 2023. And I feel like we just did this episode last year. And when you're more present and you're intentional versus, like, always doing something, it makes the time go by slower, which helps you just get more out of each day.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, these little micro moments, like, we can't underestimate them, because I feel like that's something I've really made an intentional effort to prioritize in my day to day, is really just, you know, finding those micro moments, finding those micro meditations, kind of like Chris said, like, during a workout. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily be, like, some elaborate thing. Like, I like to do it, you know, when I'm driving my truck home from the gym. Like, sometimes after a long day, you know, in the gym with clients, listening to music, like, I literally just drive home in complete silence, and it's honestly so therapeutic. And then, like, also just sitting, you know, with my food in my meals, and, like, not sitting there scrolling on my phone. And sometimes I'll get in that habit of, like, picking the phone up, like, while I'm eating. And I have to actually, like, tell myself and, like, make an intentional effort to just put the phone down and just, like, be present. And, like, those two things alone just really do help bring me to the present moment. And then, you know, I feel like just making time, you know, especially, like, late at night, like, especially when we can all get so caught up in, like, the day-to-day hustle, it's so nice to be able to, like, you know, have dinner together. Chris and I will always do that, where we just press pause, you know, have literally dinner together, slow down, talk, you know, relax. I think it's just so important, so we're not just constantly in that fight or flight state, because I feel like we need to be intentional about breaking that up, or else we're just going to constantly be in that literal fight or flight, like, constant achievement mode. So make time to be present each and every day.
And as you were saying that, it just, like, a couple of words popped out to me as you were talking, that it allows you to decompress on your way home from work, and you're also more mindful with your meals. And if you're someone who struggles with high stress and it's impacting your nutrition choices. You don't feel like you're aligning your actions with your goals, or, you know, you're not being mindful with how you eat. I think that's something that you need to work on, is just being present, being mindful, and like allowing yourself to decompress. Because if we don't allow ourselves to do that, we're never in rest and digest state, which is truly where like the recovery happens physically and mentally, and where we're able to see those lower stress levels, which then can positively impact your fitness goals. So this stuff doesn't just, you know, relate to mental health. It also relates to physical health. As you guys know, listening to the podcast for this long, they all go hand in hand. So number three is that you are allowed to have a bad day. And this is something that was a life lesson from like, and even in this past month, like I was just having like a shitty day, and I'm always someone who's like glass half full, looking at the positives. And I was trying to explain to Zach like why I was in a bad mood, and he was like, you're allowed to have a bad day. And to me, I used to allow myself to have bad days, like in college and high school. I was like, oh, it's a bad day, like I was fine with it. But I don't know what it is now, just like putting pressure on myself. I think it's just like, and how we have to show up each day for others. Like I feel like I have to be in a good mood, and I sometimes turn off the ability to be like, hey, I'm having a bad day. But that's just like the reality. And to be authentic and real, like we have bad days as well. We just like sometimes always show that on social media. I want that to be like a positive space, and obviously this podcast to be a positive space. But having a bad day doesn't mean you have a bad life. It's not a bad week. But being able to ride the highs and lows of this year was something that got me through. I was just talking to Zach about like the year end. I feel like the beginning of the year, we did the episode on like how it was a tough season, and then we moved into our new apartment in June. So when I look back at this year, I really like immediately just remember like June beyond, like those like good times, the change, the like new apartment and this new season of life. But you also have to remember like those hard times, because they do make you stronger, and those lows are equally as important as the highs.
Yeah, I think it's just so important to have this perspective, because kind of like you said, we're just like groomed to think that every day should be perfect and every day should be happy and just graceful and joyful and all the things, like based off of what we see on social media. It's just these unrealistic expectations that we have as human beings. And, you know, it's just not realistic. Like we're going to have bad days. We're going to hate some days. You know, I always think back to like when I was playing football, like there were some practices where I was like, I do not want to fucking do this at all. But does that mean that I hate football? No, I absolutely love the sport, but there were just some shitty, shitty days. And that same thing can happen, you know, in our day-to-day life. It's important to just take a snapshot at like the macro picture of like, are we enjoying most days? Are most days good days? Are most days, you know, positive, happy? Obviously, you know, if they're not, you know, something needs to change. But I think if, you know, we can take that outlook of, you know, the macro picture, I really do think we're going to be able to find that, you know, most days are, you know, really good days. And then don't beat yourself up if you do have a bad day.
And this next one kind of goes hand in hand, and they may sound extremely similar, but I truly believe that every season has a reason, and that you grow through what you go through. And this can relate to many different, you know, seasons of life. Like we said, at the beginning of this year, we went through a season of loss, and it caused us to be extra present. It caused us to be extra grateful. But there are some seasons that are just rougher than others. But then looking at like previous seasons where like I'm going through my hormone healing journey, I'm slowing down, I'm being more present, like that season is very important. But when I look back at like what I've accomplished, like since my 10K, like looking at Q4, I'm like, did I really accomplish a lot? But this season has a reason, and it's helping me prepare for 2024. Because once January 1st hits, like things kick off in the fitness space. We are wedding prepping in more ways than one. And we need this time to like restore and recover and like be present for these holidays too. It's our last season as fiancés. It's my 30th. There's so many things to celebrate, but I think that not every season's going to be like, oh, I accomplished, like, oh, look at all these things I accomplished in Q4, like second half of the year, 2023 as a whole. Like even if this year, I've heard from a lot of people like that this year was tough for a lot of people. And in my brain, I'm always like, if your odd year was rough, your even year is going to be amazing. So that's the energy we're going into the new year with.
Yeah, I feel like these last 3 years of entrepreneurship, 3.5 years going on 4 years, literally have been like a constant like correlation to this exact life lesson, where like me having kind of like that all or nothing athlete mindset, where it's just like constant progress, constant forward progress. Like I used to like let that drive me absolutely nuts. And I feel like in this last year, last couple of years, I've really had to gain a deeper level of awareness behind what are the seasons where I need to, like what's in season, what's off season. Like I really almost view it and think of it like that, like which seasons of the year are when I'm on, you know, full throttle, like really going hard. And then what are the seasons of life where I can pull back a little bit, you know, maybe focus a little bit more on my own personal growth, my own professional growth, things like that. Just really balancing kind of all areas and understanding that like not every day, every week is going to be like, we have to push the needle forward. I also think like working in sales, like brainwashed me, you know, to think that way. Cause it was like every single week was literally like the dials reset. Like you've got to show up, you've got to perform, you got to do better than you did last week, even though it was just like ridiculous. So anyway, you know, I think it's just so important to understand and have that gauge behind, you know, which seasons of life are we pulling back? And then which seasons of life are we really pushing hard and pushing through?
Because it's really not realistic to be like going hard, pushing forward like every single season of the year. So give yourself some grace if this season had a reason that maybe you didn't expect or didn't correlate to, like we said, tons of wins. So that's not to say your next season isn't going to be an incredible one. But number five is that getting out of your comfort zone often is extremely important for your confidence, for your growth. And this can be something as simple as like a PR in the gym. Like for me, as you guys know, broken record, running a 10K was my goal for this year. So now I'm working on my list for 30 of like, what's a big scary goal I have to work on? Because just like one scary goal, it doesn't have to be running a marathon or anything like that. Like it can just be something that you've been avoiding that you know you need to do, or like something that excites you, but you're scared you may fail. Like if we were holding ourselves back of everything that was scary, like we wouldn't have businesses. We would have never left our like 9 to 5s. We wouldn't have a podcast. Like this is something that's kind of scary to start. You know, Zach pulled the trigger for both of us in starting the podcast and bringing me on. But that's something that's out of, you know, normal, like it's a comfort zone thing. So there can be so many different ways to get out of your comfort zone, whether that's like at work, you know, working towards a promotion or doing a presentation. Personally, I'm scared of like public speaking. So like next year, I probably want to do like an event of some kind for Built and Balance where I have to speak in some capacity, because I think that would be something that not only would benefit me, but would benefit so many other women. And that would be my big scary thing for the new year. But getting out of your comfort zone does so much for you internally. I recently did a video about how I would never trade places with 25-year-old me, like now as I'm almost 30, because I was so much less confident. I did not know who I was. I didn't know what my values were. Like I didn't feel aligned because I wasn't getting out of my comfort zone. I didn't trust in myself, because personal growth, consistency, and doing the hard thing is what's made me like confident in myself and probably makes my clients confident in me and Zach confident in me and my family and friends confident in me. But if I hadn't done these things outside of my comfort zone, I wouldn't even be close to where I am today.
And I feel like a big thing that holds people back from getting outside of their comfort zone is really just the opinion of others. Like I cannot even like put into words how many people I've heard on podcasts, like who have done anything successful, have given that advice of just like, is like the sooner you can just detach from what people think, the sooner you can propel yourself forward and really start to build a life, you know, that you're obsessed with, that you love. And I just think about, like Christina said, referencing Life Rewired, and then like your Built and Balanced business, Built and Balanced would literally not be a thing unless you got out of your comfort zone. Everyday Athlete would not be a thing unless I got out of my comfort zone. You know, this podcast wouldn't be a thing unless we got out of our comfort zone. And I just feel like we are so tied down and we're put in these boxes based off of what other people think or what we think, you know, we should do or have to do, and all of these just like honestly bullshit parameters we place on our lives. And it truly just holds us back from like living our life in the way that we want it, that we want to. That's why I think it's so important to like put people's opinions aside, put like societal expectations aside. And the quicker you guys can get, and the clearer you can get to what you genuinely love, what you genuinely want your day to day to look like, honestly, the better life you're going to live. Because I know I do this a lot. I always project down to like my future self, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. How am I going to judge how I live these years? Am I going to be fucking pissed that I let, you know, someone's dumb opinion like hold me back from living how I wanted to live? Or am I going to, you know, detach from that, you know, and build these incredible, incredible memories that I can then, you know, reflect on someday down the line and be damn proud, you know, that we were able to step outside of that comfort zone and do the hard thing. And I think that that's something that, you know, we're building right now, you know, and I think it's just so important to think about that and have that perspective of, you know, how are we going to look back on these years?
And that's something that this is a lesson later on. It's my grand finale, but a piece of what you just said reminded me of this, that the opinion of others really does not matter at the end of the day. Like the people who are close to you, yes, their opinion matters. Like I care what Zach thinks. I care what my family and close friends think, but those people love and care and support you, and they want what's best for you. So unless you're doing something that's wildly, you know, not good for you, they're going to support you. And something with like just the process of aging too, I'm really excited for my 30s actually. Like everyone says it's like the best decade, because you really don't care what people think. And like, you're in a position where you're like most likely doing something you enjoy. There's no timeline that's like perfect that you have to be at a certain point by 30, but the main theme I've heard from everyone who's in their 30s is like they just don't care anymore what other people think, and they're finally able to like be who they are and be comfortable and be themselves. And like that's something that I look forward to in my 30s as well. That's not the life lesson, but the opinion of others is something that made me think of that. My number six is it's a four-parter. Living by the four agreements is something that really changed my mindset this year in so many different areas. I was actually at this wasn't even our book club, which we're starting in the new year with some of my Columbus friends, but we were just watching like the Eras movie on Friday night and we were doing a book swap and someone had the four agreements. And I'm like, oh my gosh, so everybody needs to read this. This is the most life-changing book. And it's really short. Like it's a very thin book, but the life lessons that are in there are so important and they translate to all areas of your life. Number one is to be impeccable with your word. I think this is really important in health and fitness. Because like I said, you have to trust yourself in order to be confident. And if you are slacking on, I say this all the time to my clients and it sounds so silly, but like if you're not impeccable with your word and like even hitting your water goal, hitting a workout at 5 a.m., like if you skip out on things and say, I'll do it tomorrow, you don't really trust in yourself to follow through on something. And then you have to treat yourself like someone you have to rely on, like your boss has to rely on you to show up for work. You don't just say, I'm not going to show up today. I don't feel like it. I'll come in tomorrow though. And then the next day you're like, oh no, I'm just kidding. I'll come tomorrow. I stayed up late. I had to sleep in. Like we don't do that to people that we want to trust us. If you're working for a promotion or you're trying to impress someone for, you know, relationship, you know, reasons, dating, you put your best foot forward and you're impeccable with your word and you have to do the same with yourself because it's something that truly is life-changing for the relationship you have with yourself and your confidence. Number two is to not take anything personally. And this is one of my favorite ones because I'm a very sensitive person, I will say. And I would take things personally, like if someone like had road rage at me or if, you know, just like how people act towards you is a reflection of them. So if someone says something unkind to you, like obviously in the world of social media, like we'll get comments here and there. I will say I'm grateful for the positive space we have with Life Rewired and, you know, on our social media platforms, but there are some comments here and there, you know, but we can't take anything personally because truly it's a reflection of what others are experiencing and they're projecting that onto you. And that's something that took me 29 years to learn that lesson.
Yeah, don't take anything personally was definitely the one of the four agreements that stood out to me the most. I feel like just the nature of our work and what we do, like it's very easy to take things personally when like, you know, a client isn't following through or when a client, you know, isn't showing up to the level that maybe they originally committed to, or you almost feel like it's your fault. And, you know, it's taken us a long time to grow through that, to understand like we have to just do our absolute best, show up as the best version of ourselves as coaches. And then really just let the chips fall where they may. And I feel like a lot of you out there can relate to that because I know I even did that in my sales job like years ago, back before I was ever even a trainer, where like I would take things very personally when I was having a good day or a good week, like high performance, like hitting targets, like I'd be super stoked, super happy. And then during weeks where, you know, I was underperforming or I wasn't hitting, you know, certain goals, like I felt like shit. And it's so important to like detach emotionally from those things and from these outcomes, because it will literally just drive us crazy if we always react and respond emotionally, even especially how, you know, people treat us. Like Christina said, it's always a direct reflection of how they're feeling, what they're personally going through. It's rarely does it have anything to do with you, honestly. It's really a reflection of something that they are going through, something that they're struggling with. And I just think that that one is so important because it takes work. Like, I think all of these agreements, like, yeah, like it's easy to read it and like look through it. But when you actually apply this stuff, it's hard. It's you're going to feel resistance. And I think that if we can all intentionally like detach, you know, from what people think or what people say, I think we would just live such a happier life.
Yeah. And as I was, you know, reading through these and explaining like how I perceived these lessons, obviously it's been a while since I've read the book specifically, but these are things that just stick with me when I think of each agreement. But I did want to explain how they word the agreements when you look at the four. So being impeccable with your word not only is like trusting yourself, but it's speaking with integrity, not gossiping about others, and using the power of your word in a direction of like truth and alignment with who you are. And not taking anything personally explains it as nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality and their own dream, is how they word things in the book. And when you're immune to the opinions of others and actions of others, you won't be a victim, which I think is very powerful. Number three is don't make assumptions. And that means finding the courage to ask questions and express what you really want. I think communication with others is obviously something we need in our everyday life, with work, with relationships, and being able to say what you mean and avoid misunderstandings, avoid drama. This agreement is truly life-changing. And number four is one that I repeat to myself constantly and to clients too, because our best looks different every day. And number four is to always do your best. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you're healthy as opposed to sick. It will be different under all circumstances. So simply doing your best helps you avoid self-judgment and give yourself grace. And this is, for example, me like going through these different seasons of this year, I have to know like my best looks different today than it did 6 months ago. Or when for women, like our cycle changes like throughout 28 days. So like our best today looks different than it did 2 weeks ago. And that's okay. And that shows up in the gym. It shows up in our energy. It shows up in our performance and how much we can accomplish in a given day. And like I said, as an Enneagram 3, it's hard for me to be like, hey, maybe today I don't get my whole to-do list done. Like for me, that's extremely hard, but it's just the reality. Like if your best looks different today, you have to accept that and give yourself grace, because beating yourself up is not going to serve you. Number seven is how your life feels is far more important than how it looks. And this is something that came to me last week when I was sharing the Wheel of Life activity with the Mountain Balance community. And that's a kind of like pie chart where you go through each area of your life, your personal life, your career, your finances, your health, your relationships, your social life, your contribution, like purpose. And that's something where like I'm big on vision boarding, and I do that very often each month, each year, and bring my goals to like life so I can visualize it. And that's very motivating for me. Obviously, vision boards like don't just become your reality unless you like put in the daily action, which is an important reminder. But obviously, vision boarding is like the aesthetics. Like, how is your life going to look? What are those goals going to look like? But the reality is like, how does your life feel right now? Like what areas don't feel good? If you're not prioritizing your friendships because you're so focused on your career and fitness in these certain areas of your life, it's not going to feel good at the end of the year when you're like, how do I feel in these areas? Rating them 1 to 10, like there will be an outlier. It's unrealistic to be like 10 out of 10 in all areas. Once again, as we mentioned earlier in the episode, but explaining the importance of both of these in like a year-end review, I think they both have a purpose, but how your life feels like the Wheel of Life activity is way more important than like, what does your vision board look like? What does your mood board look like for this month? Like, obviously that is important for people who are visually motivated, but I also think like rating yourself in these areas and being real with yourself and saying like, okay, I didn't prioritize my health this year. I was too focused on whether that was career. I was too focused on others. You know, like your real life is going to look different than mine or Zach's. And I think it's important to be very honest with yourself in rating something on the low end, like a 1 or a 3. If you truly did not prioritize it, it's basically how satisfied are you in these areas? And then once you're done with it, you want to look at those areas that you were kind of slacking in or dissatisfied and create tangible goals for each of those areas so that like, yeah, you can still do a vision board. I will still do one for the new year, but it's going to be based off of like those areas I was not satisfied in 2023.
I love this one because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Like how it feels, how your life feels to you is all that matters. How it looks is, it kind of just doesn't even matter. Like if we get caught up in, again, like that external validation and how our life looks to everyone else, like we're then not going to be internally happy. You know, you can only play that game for so long before that internal feeling of, hey, I'm not living the life I should be living. I'm not living the life I know I want to be living will come about. And that's why I think it's so important just to hyper focus on how life feels. And I just love this life lesson because at the end of the day, how it looks really doesn't matter, honestly, as long as you are happy.
Exactly. And like us, you know, working in the space of social media too, like, obviously, people do say, you know, Instagram is a highlight reel, and we try and bring some realness, you know, to our social media through the podcast and through Instagram and things like that. But obviously, there are times where like on the weekends, I want to post something and I'm like, I just need to like be in this moment versus like having to post everything on social media, because like truly like that external validation of like, oh my gosh, it looks like you had such a good weekend. It looks like you're having so much fun. Your outfit is so cute. Like, of course, this stuff is fun once in a while. But if you rely on that versus like feeling good in yourself and like getting off your phone and actually being present in the moment, like that's what's truly important, which leads me into number 8, which is quality time with loved ones is more important than anything else. And that's something that this year taught us so much, like going through hard times, also going through like celebrations. Something I've loved about wedding planning, obviously it's like something Zach and I get to do together. He, little shout out to Zach. I was talking to someone about wedding planning the other day, asking if it was very stressful for me. And I'm like, honestly, no, we divide and like conquer this stuff. We treat it like anything else. And like Zach's present for every call. He has a say in everything. He's very decisive. And like, I don't feel like I'm bearing the stress of any of it. And that's something that I think is a huge piece of wedding planning that I love, is like, we get to do all this stuff together. And like on date nights, we'll plan things and it brings us closer. But also it's brought us closer to like our friends and family, like being able to like, the first time I've gone on a trip with my sister in probably 10 years, like on my bachelorette party. So that was so much fun. But also like my bridesmaids and Zach's sisters, like there are just so many events that come along with wedding planning that makes me so grateful for like seeing my cousins and my aunts throwing my shower for me. It's just something that is so enjoyable. And it made me realize like this quality time, like is a time I'll never get back. And like, I want to soak up every single moment. And it also makes you realize that like, even if you don't have someone in your life who is engaged or having a baby, like celebrating every single milestone is so important. Like getting together for birthdays, getting together for any kind of celebration, literally like any reason to celebrate, to get together and like be with your people is so worth it because life is just so short. Like I said, obviously 30 is not old. When I was younger, I used to think like, oh, by 30, I'm going to be here in life, or I felt like it was older to me, but I still feel so young and like life is so short and it's so important really just to spend it with the people who are your people and who make you feel good and like they don't drain your social battery. It's just like you can be yourself around them and that quality time is way more important. And I will say like coming off the Wheel of Life activity into this one, that was one area of my life like in seasons of burnout where I wasn't prioritizing friendships or like seeing my family as often as I wanted to. And that's something that's so important for Zach and I. And looking back at those years, I was like, this year doesn't even feel good. Like, yeah, you can have accomplishments, you can have these wins, but like if you're not sharing it with your people, like what's the point?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this one just really hits home with me, especially with my parents living here nowadays. I feel like this is a lesson that, you know, I kind of learned the hard way, but I'm able to now utilize my time wisely and really make the most of this time with them. But I just always think back to like when I was playing football at Ohio State, I remember my parents literally came up for every single weekend. And to be fully transparent with you guys, I feel like I wasted a lot of that time. Like while they were here, I was, you know, we'd be out to dinner together and I'd be on my phone, like texting all my buddies, like planning, where are we going to be? What are we going to be doing later tonight, you know, to celebrate the game? And it was completely robbing me of that presence that I was getting, you know, with my parents, with my grandparents. And I don't feel good about that. I didn't feel good about that, you know, looking back. And I feel like now, you know, being able to have my parents here, I'm able to, in a sense, you know, kind of make up for that lost time and really be intentional about seeing them as often as possible. And that's why, you know, something I've been doing recently is going over there and training them every Monday. And it's been like the best thing ever. And I feel like my younger, dumber self, you know, the college Zach, the dumbass, you know, would not have seen that as an awesome opportunity, you know, to spend this quality time with my parents, who I genuinely literally enjoy spending time with. I mean, Chris really enjoys hanging out with my parents. Like they're dope, honestly, super down to earth and can tell them. I feel like I've always been able to just tell them anything. And I just feel like our bond and our relationship has gotten just even closer over these years and understanding that. And I feel like it's just unfortunate because I feel like a lot of people will let that time kind of go to waste where it's like, you know, if I would have kept that same mentality and that mindset and just kept like kind of chasing the next thing and like got caught up in my career, moved somewhere else, you know, wasn't near them at all, was on another side of the country, like didn't get to spend quality time with them, like I know I would have regrets down the line. And that's why, you know, I've said this several times throughout this episode, but that's why I am a firm believer it's important to project into your future self and think like, am I going to regret wasting this time? Because I know for a fact, like if my parents were living here and I wasn't spending time with them, like I would definitely regret that. And even on those days where I have a busy Monday or a lot of shit's going on and I don't want to go over there and train them on a certain day, that always kind of kicks and overrides those feelings because I think about that future self and, you know, will I regret not making this time? And so I will always make that time. And I feel like it just makes me so happy and brings so much joy to my life, you know, prioritizing that quality time, you know, with loved ones in my life, you know, not only my parents, but like Christina said, even in this season of life too, with the wedding planning and being able to spend all this time with these people, you know, that we're very close to is just amazing. And it really is all that we have. Like at the end of the day, I was thinking about that the other day, like family is truly family, friends, like those that we love, like that's really all we got. Like all this material shit, no one's going to ever remember what car you drove. No one's going to remember what watch you had. No one's going to remember your fucking job title and what we even did, you know, at the end of the day, like really like that's the reality of it. People are going to remember, you know, the impact you had on them, the relationship that you had with them and how you left, you know, that lasting imprint really on their life and the memories.
Yeah. And I think a big lesson we've had this year too, that you just reminded me of was that as we get older too, like we're in the season of life where like a lot of our friends are getting engaged and a lot of people are living out of state or starting to have kids. And it's like life is only going to get busier. And this present moment we have like with our friends is like the least busy we probably ever will be. So prioritizing like trips to go see them, and you do a great job of that, like friends who live out of state, just like making trips to see them. And I think that's something that is just a really good reminder if you live far away from home. Obviously, we know travel is expensive, but like for us, instead of doing a trip to like Arizona or Denver together, like Zach taking trips to see his like really good friends is something that I know lights you up and I can tangibly see the difference in like how happy you are coming home from seeing your friends, which is important. Like you have to have different people who fill up different cups for you. And I think that it's something you have to prioritize. But on to number 9, like you said, projecting into future you, this goes hand in hand with this 9th life lesson, which is focusing on the compound interest of your daily actions. And once again, we can look back at 2023 and we're like, wow, this time flew. But like, even in those hard days, like where we were like, we're going through it earlier this year, like we still showed up for ourselves. That's what makes us feel good. We're still prioritizing water, prioritizing steps. We still get movement in, even if it may look different, like going on a walk or doing yoga class versus a lift. Like you have to understand that like these compound interests of these daily actions really do add up, and you may not see it in the day to day of like, I don't feel like doing this today, or what difference is it going to make? Like, I promise you it makes a big difference. And you look ahead, and I was even saying this on a call today with a client, that when you lift weights and you eat protein, it's like compound interest for future you. Like you're building a thriving metabolism. We just did our metabolism series, so you guys know this by now, but there are other things that like negatively can impact future you, and those daily actions that don't align with you, you'll see, just like with making investments, like you'll see a drop in aligning your actions with your goals. Maybe you're ending this year in a spot where you don't feel confident with where you're at physically, mentally, or in your career even. And you have to look back at those daily actions and say, like, was what I'm doing each day aligning with where I want to be? And if not, like, what do I have to change?
One of the literal best feelings on the planet is when you go through an experience where, you know, you say you've gone through just a hell of a season of life, you know, you pushed through, you showed up. You know, we arrive to this really cool point and this really cool experience where you feel the success of your compounded effort over time. Like all of the stuff you've done in the past, in that present moment, that experience I'm talking about, like in the present, you can see, you can feel all of that hard work paying off in real time. And there is legitimately no better feeling in the world. And anyone who's read Atomic Habits, I think that was really the book that shifted my whole perspective on this whole idea of compound. Of the compound effect in general. It can be a positive thing, it can be a negative thing. You know, it's kind of like how people kind of stumble their way into being, you know, 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight. Like it's not like it happens overnight. You know, it's a process. It's, you know, a little bit of weight gained over time. Same thing with weight loss. You know, that's how, you know, Chris and I will coach our clients. You know, it's a little bit lost over time. And then that stacks up, and that compound effect is just so very real. And I think this happens with even like successes that we experience. Like I've experienced it with sports. I've experienced it in entrepreneurship. There is literally no better feeling than seeing those efforts pay off, because in those days where you didn't want to show up, on those days that, you know, you were talking yourself out of, you know, going to the gym or showing up and doing that thing for your career, for your entrepreneurship, like whatever it may be, like when you get to the back end of that and you see the cumulative effect of your efforts over time, there is legitimately no better feeling in the world. And I hope that you guys listening have experienced that and can even experience it, you know, multiple times throughout your life.
And I highly recommend, if you haven't read the book Atomic Habits, I think in the new year, it's a really great book to read, because that's where like the 1% better mentality really came from.
You understand every day matters.
Yeah, truly. And that's something that future you will thank you for, and current us is thanking past us for the daily actions that we put in. And this is the last and final lesson, which is to embrace aging and understanding that it's a privilege. Like I said, entering my 30s, I have this mindset that like, I'm excited. Like everyone talks about, like I said, you no longer care about what other people think. You're more you than ever. And I truly think that over the course of your 20s, it's like, and I see this with my clients all the time. Like, I feel like year 25 was so transformative for me. That was the year that I lost my dad. It was the year that I decided to start my business. It was the year that I quit my 9-to-5. Like I went through so many changes. And I think that year 25 is like a unraveling of like who you were in your like 20s post-college. And it's pushing you closer to like who you're supposed to be in your adult life. And I witnessed acts like year 25, where you did the exact same thing and started your business and went through like an unraveling of your identity of like who you used to be. And I see with our clients all the time, I'm like, year 25 and 26, it's like your mid 20s. It's like the most transformative years of your life. And I feel like you get to enjoy that in your 30s. And we're always going to be learning and growing and changing. But I'm really excited to go into my 30s with this strong mindset, like being wiser, being more confident, being more me than ever, versus looking at it as like over the hill, like negative thing. Like I don't really ever celebrate my birthday with like a party. Like my birthday's Christmas Eve, so it's really hard to do. But this year we're having a celebration like New Year's weekend, and I'm so looking forward to it just because there's so much to celebrate.
Yeah, and I think that 9 and 10 just truly go hand in hand, because when you trust in the compound effect, when you know your daily habits are working in your favor, aging's dope. Because then you know, like, the more I invest in this thing, the more I invest my time, my effort, my energy into these things I'm doing, I know I have evidence in front of me that I'm going in the direction that I want to go in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for those that have, you know, maybe not so good habits, that's where aging gets really fucking scary, where, you know, health starts to decline. You know, maybe something's not going well career-wise, or just anything, any negative habits can compound in the other direction. And that's where I think aging becomes very scary. But when our habits are on par, when they're in check with the life we want to be living, that's when aging becomes a cool thing. And that's kind of how I feel like, you know, we've really embraced it for, you know, Chris and I, where, you know, we really are excited, genuinely excited about, you know, what is to come in our lives individually and collectively.
That's right. And I think learning about like the Blue Zones episode we did on kind of like aging in reverse was really powerful, because it doesn't make you like fear aging for the reasons a lot of people make you fear aging. Like, I feel like our society is like, oh, you're getting older, you're getting wrinkles. Like, they put such a negative like tone towards getting older, when I think it's, like I said, a privilege. It's something that we can control, the controllables, and like fuel our body properly and optimize our internal health and work towards goals and like really make the most out of each year. And that's like the mission of obviously our coaching and this whole podcast, is like to optimize all areas of your life and control the controllables when there is so much outside of our control. And I think that embracing aging kind of ties all of that up together in a nice bow. So speaking of, we hope you guys have a great holiday next week. We will be taking the week off next week to enjoy a time with our family. So we wanted to get this episode out before the new year and wish you all a happy new year, happy holidays, and we will see you guys in 2024.
Merry Christmas, guys. Happy holidays. Peace out.